Good evening, gentlemen. I saw an interesting story today, without a name, but it's something to think about. One of the Gedolei Yisrael in America, apparently one of the Gedolim, he had a few children, but whilst his children were all Fum and Ehrlich, they were all philanthropists, but they were not Rabbonim, Dayonim, Mabitze Torah. Quite a lot, a few of his children, none of them were zoicha to be teaching Torah, giving over Torah. And the father, who is a Gadol Beis Yisrael, was asked, have you got any explanation that your children are not going on the same, I mean, they're all great, they're all fantastic, they're all amazing, but they're not all to be, they're not zoicha to go literally on your, in your great ways. And he replied in his photos, maybe we have to take it with a pinch of salt, and I don't know, but I just think it's something to think about. He said as follows, I came to America in the days that the America was still, you know, what we call a midbar. It was a desert still, and there was not much Torah going on. There was very little Torah when I brought up my young children. There was not much Torah there. There was very little Torah. So both me and my wife as well, we davened. We davened a lot that the children should be, you know, despite all the challenges, all the social pressures, we davened that, Mishem, our children should be zoicha to keep the Torah, to be formed, to be erlich, and to be zoicha to keep the Torah properly. But at no time did it occur to us to daven beyond that. At no point did we daven with Shizoicha that our children should be Gdoile Yisrael. We never davened for that. Because all we wanted, we saw the challenges, and we saw how many people and how many children and how many people out there didn't make it, didn't pull through. So all we davened for was Shizoicha mentioned that our children should, you know, should go in the right ways and in the right path. And that's all we davened. And Baruch Hashem, the tefillahs were in Iskabel, and they went in their way. But had we davened for more, who knows what would have happened. We just didn't daven for more than that. We didn't daven our children should be zeichet to be gedolei Yisrael. Had we davened for that, who knows? Perhaps we would have been zeichet that. I thought that's an interesting comment which was made. Yes, I saw something interesting today. I just paged to one of the contemporaries for him, and he quotes of Chaim Kanievsky. And I wonder what you think about this. It's very much relating to what we discussed yesterday towards the end of the year, which is regards to Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We learned that if somebody fails to have kavana during Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, the halacha is not yoytze. In fact, we learned even more than that, that if a person has mid Shema Yisrael, he loses kavana. That's it. So the question is follows: what happens if somebody does not have kavana, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and after completing the word Echad, he suddenly realized, oh, wow, I didn't have kavana. Can he now at that stage, after finishing the word, Echad, can he now have kavana? Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, it's missed. Too late. You have to actually verbalize and say the words of Shema Yisrael whilst having kavana. Can you make up when you finished?
Too late.
Too late? So what would you say? Would you?
The chiyuv is to say the words
with kavana. Everybody agrees with that?
Disagree.
What's your approach? What would you say?
Say Shema Yisrael. Let me think. What does that mean?
Yeah. So,
Chaim Kanievsky. It's still the same.
So, Chaim Kanievsky has been quoted saying exactly what you were saying. He says that, no, if you say Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, and you didn't, the point is to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch, you can say it after finishing. He says even more than that, and I think that's a big chiddush. He says, what happens if you even stopped already for a few seconds, and it's not whilst you say Echad, but you say Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Shema Echad, perhaps he even said, Baruch Shem Kvod Machsor Elam Voed. And now you say, oh no, I didn't have that Kavana thing now. And you now wish to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch, you now have the Kavanah in mind. Does he help now? And he says, you know what? It's still not too late. It's still fine. You can still have Kavanah now after. It's a very big Kiddush. I agree.
What's the cutoff? Yeah, what's the cutoff? I don't know where the cutoff is. What's the cutoff? I don't know. It's a good question. I didn't see a cutoff point. But Chaim Kanievsky says that even after Baruch Shem, you still want to have the kavana for Shema. You could still be Yotze.
If you sit the first pasuk, and let's say you carry on, you start in the after. Does that mean now because you've lost, you haven't had kavana? That means the rest of the Shema really doesn't. You're not really fulfilling the mitzvah.
Yeah. So the answer is we're going to be learning more about this in Siman Samach Dalet. But the answer is it's independent mitzvahs. So if you could complete now v'ahavta v'hoya, and then say Shema Yisrael again with kavana, and you'll be yotze. So once you have to do it quietly, as we discussed previously, because you can't say twice Shema aloud. But if you say you can say it without actually you can say it without v'ahavta. So in other words, complete say v'ahavta.
Go back to say the first.
And then after say Shema Yisrael, yeah. Yeah, I don't know about that, actually. I don't know if you should say that at that point or you should wait until after Shema Yisrael. I don't know. It's a good question. Bineda, I'll look it up. It's an interesting question. Don't know about that. Bineda, I'll try to look it up. What's that? We didn't explain further than what the pasuk says. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. To be mamlecha kodesh baruch hu, and to the word is to be mamlecha kodesh baruch hu over the world. Yeah, that's the ikke kavan of Shema Yisrael. Yeah, yeah. It does say also over all worlds, the shever ikki and the four directions. You should be thinking about that as well. It is mamlecha kodesh baruch hu. Kavan, yeah. It is, yeah. Yeah. What's the difference? It's very similar, but I hear there's a slight different nuance to it, that you're mamlech on your mekabel on yourself, the oil. Yeah, yeah, I hear there's a slight different point. I hear that. So yeah, so probably that's probably more the... That's you're right. There is that aspect of Kabbalah's Malchus Shemaim. There is. Yeah, but it's true that there is an element of Kabbalah's Malchus Shemaim. We continue. Rabbi Sawi Simon Samach Gimel Seif. Hey. So what we're learning now is about Yoshua. What happens if somebody sleeps? That's pretty bad. So we're talking about really people should have great kavana, and you should have really. We learned you should say Shema with trembling and with great concentration. What happens if somebody's far, far, far away from that and is actually dozing off? He's sleeping through Shema. So the halacha is, if somebody's sleeping and it's about to say Shema, what you're meant to do is, metzarim oiso, you cause him pain. You do that this, you do this one. Boom! That's the one you do. Yeah? Metzarim oiso, me'irim oiso, and you wake him up. You wake him up, you ensure that he's with you, that he's here. To mekabel ol malchus shemaim, ad shikor pasuk rishon, that he should indeed say the pasuk rishon, v'era mamesh, he should be totally awake, not the semi dozing off state of like, am I here, am I not here? No. He should be completely, fully conscious and aware. Era mamesh, mikan ve'elech en metzayim oisev. However, after Baruch Shem, kvei machsod elam v'et, you don't have to wake him up more than that. Ein mitzari moisoi, kidei shiko, vu eir mamesh, aval pi, shikoiru misnam nem yotso, and the rest of Shema, if it's like doing it in a half-dozed manner, that is like half asleep, half awake, and he's doing it like by rote, if it's past the posturation, you don't disturb him. You know, keep him like this. It's fine. But you do need to wake him up. The main halach in this seif is you must wake him up for the first pasuk. V'din shosu v'shikah ayin lekamon simen tzadites, with regards to somebody who's shikah, drunk, that's discussed in simen tzadites. Okay. Sivov, hakor ki hashma, drink ki hashma, lo yirmois be'einov, no sign language, no facial expressions, lo yirmois be'einov, don't do the eyes, yeah, raising eyebrow, all kinds of eye language, yeah, all that. Don't do any kind of noises through your lips. Furthermore, do not make any sign language with your fingers. But parsha is shown during the first parsha, during the first paragraph, which is the main kabbalas malchus shemaim. Why? Because it appears that he's doing it in a temporary, unconcentrated way. You should do it in an established, proper, fully concentrated way. And even if you're able to concentrate by doing sign language, which is probably quite doubtful, but even if you're able to concentrate, it's still wrong. Because it appears that you're not fully concentrated. It's interesting, but us, for some reason, we think that saying nu is not considered talking. I don't know, the nu. You know, it's like, it's for us, it's considered, because for some reason, that nu is not talking. Nu is talking. So a person wouldn't be able to say nu, or any verbal expression during Shema, of course, that would be also. But even sign language, etc., is a problem. It's interesting because at times, I don't know if you have experience, it depends where a person davens, but at times, the Shliach Tzibur wants to count how many people are around, if he can proceed already, proceed already and continue Shema. So he wants to check how many people. So he's asking literally for, sometimes, I mean, I've experienced this, I don't know if you've, not here, but in other places, you've experienced that he's looking around, and then you may want to make a sign language like this, you're not up to it, or yes, you are, whatever. This is wrong. Shulchan Aruch specifically, in this Shulchan Aruch tells us, don't do any sign language during saying Shema. You don't. So he's kind of figured out as well. What also is relating to that, and that's perhaps even more common, again, not here so much, but in other shuls, it's very common, when people go around for tzedakah. People going around for tzedakah, it's very common. So, what would you say, based on what you're seeing now? What would you say?
Respond somehow, give them a smile.
Yeah, giving the voucher, yeah. 50p voucher, take the voucher. Is that okay or not?
It has to be.
Why? Yeah, so it's interesting you're saying that.
Why couldn't you stop saying altogether? So you're not saying it.
Then you make like a mapsik.
Give them money, and then
it's going to help the prayer.
It's a mitzvah verse. It's going to be
gone. It's going to help the prayer.
Look at the Mishnah, and it's got new Zayin, just to emphasize the question. It says, Lo Yirmois, don't make any sign language. Vafinu dva mitzvah, also Lirmois, even for mitzvah purpose, you're not to be meramas. The Kolchkin should also lish of tabak with Yashma. If you're desperate for a bit of tabak, middle of Shema, you need to have that, you know, you need to have that, or perhaps you want to have a bit of a little smoke as well, whatever it is. No. Not doing Shema, you can't do that. So if it's a Dar Mitzvah or not, you can't do that. In Mishnah Wutziv Kod Yudches, he adds, Bepasha Shon Vish Machmin, Kama Pasha Shnio. It's also in the Pasha Shnio, you can't do any sign language. Ach, Dvar Mitzvah, Likul Amamut, Lirmo, is Bepasha Shnio, but in the second Pasha, you'd be allowed to do the Dvar Mitzvah. Aval Havsik, Lehedia, but a proper interruption, it would be also. But I want to say that I saw in the postgame, I think it's Abraham Kanevsky, or perhaps, I think says that in principle, there certainly is no obligation to give tzedakah during Kriyas Shema because Oisik b'mitzvah potur min ha-mitzvah. I find that very, very, Asur Moshe Shtenbuch writes about it as well. When you're davening, it's Oisik b'mitzvah potur min ha-mitzvah. We know there's a general rule that if you are busy with one mitzvah, you're exempt from other mitzvahs. Well, surely if you are busy fulfilling your mitzvah, say the Reise of Kriyas Shema, you're potter from other mitzvahs. Now, whether the tzedakah collector likes it or not, you are exempt. You are exempt. Oisik b'mitzvah potter a mitzvah, you're now exempt from giving tzedakah. You're now exempt from giving tzedakah. You have to give tzedakah, but you don't have to give tzedakah now. So therefore, that's point number one. Point number two, in terms of interrupting, we're seeing now clearly that it's a problem. Even if a mitzvah, it's a problem. So, one is naturally, I know this, that psychological thing, somebody goes collecting, you feel like a rosha not giving tzedakah. You feel very guilty and very bad. And Yiddish conscience, he's going through all the tzoras, so you don't want to give him 50p. We feel very guilty. But halachically speaking, there's a strong argument that, I can't say you're not allowed to, but it's probably better not to, certainly during Shema you shouldn't give. You could even stretch that further during the entire davening, perhaps you're oisik mitzvah, potur min ha-mitzvah. Don't know what you think about that. It's not. because you can't daven when you give. Yeah, no, even during davening, you can't do both. When you're giving, you're not. When you're giving, you're not davening. When you're davening, you're not giving. You're interrupting your davening. It's, you know. That's an interesting question. It's a really interesting question. It's a really interesting question you're asking. It might be the Reise. It might be an element of the Reise. The question is how much. You don't have to give unlimited amount of the Reise.
Surely, the Krishna
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but either way, it's also mitzvah, bottom of mitzvah, and I think that it's despite our conscience and our bad feelings, it's probably the right thing not to, certainly during Shema, it's fine. I know that some people, some very sophisticated and organized people, they have the vouchers ready. They have the vouchers ready, and all they need to do is, you know, to take themselves. Which is nice, but here again, a person coming around, he's still going to do sign. You're not going to take randomly. You still need to do sign language. Again, we're learning now sign language is also during Shema.
Surely the Gavon should tell the person
to wait till after the Gavon. Yeah, okay. If there's such Gaboim and the shul is operating in such a way, sure, great. Many shuls are not. I know one shul at Taken Snapatil. There is a big sign outside that says that stock collecting can only come after during Asher Valetzian. No stock collection before that. You know, I hear that approach. I totally get that. You know, they have to accommodate the mispalim for the mispalim come first and they don't want to daven. And then I hear that approach, but I heard that others had criticized it and said it's midas doim. Yeah.
Probably got to the point where that went out of control.
Yeah, it's true that in Stamford Hill, I don't know, those of us who sometimes daven in Stamford Hill, I don't know, the experience is it's very, very heavy going, the collection, very, very heavy going. And if you have to either, be able to develop your concentration away, or you have to, think of something, but it is very, very, it's much more common, the stock much more common than here. Pardon? Yeah, Yerushalayim, exactly, same thing, yeah. The whole time. So again, so I think it's important to know that halacha is oitzim mitzvah, bottom mitzvah, and we're learning now, in fact, you're not allowed to do sign language during Shema. Whether they know that or not, the stock collected, it's none of your business, really. Yeah, otherwise they don't have a point. Yeah, okay, we are ready for Siv Zayin. If somebody's busy at work, so he's working, okay? He's working now, and he wishes to say Shema. He's batalim melachto. He should stop his work. Ad shikru pashri shoyna, for reciting pashri shoyna, k'dei shloiki kori arai. Don't work and say Shema simultaneously. So those of us who have, skilled laborers or any other kind of work, you have to stop. If you think, no, I'm, you're painting, and I can paint whilst I say Shema, no problem. No, don't paint and say Shema. If you're driving and you say, I'm cool, I can drive and say Shema, no problem. No, you stop and you say Shema with that. Even if you feel they can do both, because it is, it looks like you're doing this on as a side. Kabbalah Shema Shema has to be a main concentration, not a side aspect. See if, Ches teach. If you're driving and it stops the man. Yeah, okay, I suppose in such a, you don't miss Kriyas Shema. I suppose you're still the Yotze. Yeah, but of course, Lechatchila one shouldn't. As opposed to? Yeah, and then this wouldn't apply. Then this wouldn't apply. This is in order to fulfill the mitzvah Kriyas Shema. Siv Ches. Ha'omnin v'chein ba'alabai sh'oysim melocha b'roysha ilon. People are working on tree pruning, or they're working on top of a tree, on top of b'roshurois, which is like scaffolding, all kinds of work higher up. B'roshur is a binyan. Koyri Kriyas Shema b'mekoyim v'enu tzrichim leiret. So that's an interesting halacha. You don't have to go down the scaffold, you don't have to go down the tree. If you're busy up on a higher floor, you're just cleaning the shard, and you're up there, you don't have to go down to say Shema, which is, by the way, just interesting, because you would have, why would you have thought you need to go down? Concentration. Yeah. Anybody, fears of heights? Anybody? I've got phobias.
But you wouldn't be good doing a job up on a tree if you were scared of heights.
Pardon? Yeah, you put it with them up there. So that's true, because I think that the answer is, because somebody who is up there, is working there, is probably quite able, if you can work there, you're probably quite able to concentrate and say Shema there too. But you don't have to go down. Yeah,
from God.
So absolutely. So the halacha is you don't have to go down. Yeah. So I believe this can be probably applied also to anybody who is in an awkward situation and he wants to say Shema. He still, if that's his work, wherever it is, you can stay put and say wherever you are, say Shema. And you don't have to go down into a regular situation. You can just stay where you are. Siv Tes, Hakosef of Bishim Asol, Ksefoy, somebody who's carrying loads on his shoulder. Kuriki Hashema, Avolo Yaschel. So you can say Shema whilst there's loads. If you've got a big rucksack, you know you're in the army and you're schlepping 45 kilos on your back. You don't have to put it, you don't have to take it down. You can say Shema and with the loads, with the heavy loads in your back. Avolo Yaschel Beshosher Toin, but don't say Shema as you're putting it on your back, on your head, on your shoulder. And also similarly, don't say Shema when you're taking it down. So the action of putting it up or putting it down, that's not the right time to say Shema. But when it's on you actually already, you can't say Shema when it's on you. Because at that stage, you're not fully concentrated. This is contrary. The Mishnah points out, see, if Tess is contrary to Shemona Esser. Because when it comes to Shemona Esser, you wouldn't be able to say Shemona Esser when there's loads on you. So Shema, we're learning, is fine, but Shemona Esser, if you've got a big heavy rucksack on you, you have to take it down. You can't say Shemona Esser in such a way. We're ready for Simon Samach Dalet, Rabbi, so just to have a bit of a start. Samach Dalet in October, Kiyash, what happens if it didn't quite work out? And you made a mistake. You made a mistake when you said Shema. Kore lemafreya lo yotzo. If a person said it in the wrong order, lemafreya in the wrong order, lo yotzo, you're not yotzo. But my head was remembering what it is said. But say the psukim when you said the psukim in the wrong order. Avol, but in making pasha lechavelto, if the paragraphs were said in the wrong order, avol b'she'enu reshai, you're not meant to do it in such a way. Yotzo is still yotzo. Lefisha einu smuch lo batu, because anyway, the various paragraphs in the Shema, they are not. They're not following. Is that the word? Juxtaposed? Yeah, in the Torah. So Shema doesn't come right before Vehafta, which doesn't come right from Shemaya. Tzitzit, they don't come in that order anyway. So what that means is, the paragraphs, if they're said in the wrong way, doesn't matter, but the average can change the order. But the Psukim, if you suddenly say, if you say a Pasuk in the wrong order, what's that? Okay, let's say suddenly you realize with something is dvorei le alavafchem vanafshchem, pshatim oisum iroisel etchem v'litovos beninechem, and you realize that pasuk. Oh wow, I need to go back to v'nosatim ta'atzchem, which is the pasuk before. You can't do that. You cannot change the order of the pasukim, but you can. But you ever change the order of the paragraphs? Which, by the way, explains to us. Somebody said didn't say Shema with kavona, so that's why you can't go back to say Shema with kavona at a later stage. Because it's a different paragraph. So you can't say Shema independently. No. Yeah, that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. That ain't a smuch la b'toira. It doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't. But yeah, but it doesn't matter.
So you have to say the paragraph after the whole. Is that the complete paragraph?
Yeah. Because if you don't complete the paragraph.
Paragraph 2, I can't now.
Oh, so we'll get to that. We'll get to that shortly. What happens if somebody made mistakes with the words? Can you just add words? Of course, you can't. If you made mistakes with the letters, certainly you can't. The words, in fact, you can't just add words in the middle, go back to words. You can't do that. Paragraphs can be changed order, but nothing else. And say, base addresses your point at the final seat for this evening. If you read the parsha, you made a mistake. If you know where you made a mistake, such as you said the entire paragraph. But you realize you didn't say one pasuk. You can go back to the beginning of that pasuk. Wherever you realize you made a mistake. That place where you made a mistake, you can go back there. V'goyim rapasha. You go back to where you have made a mistake and you carry on from there. V'meni yodeich, and what happens if you don't know where you made a mistake? You have no clue. I know I got muddled up. I don't know where I... What happens if you just got muddled up? You suddenly find yourself saying... You start a Shema, but you suddenly find yourself saying, Ashrei. Something must have gone seriously wrong. You know, you suddenly realize you're in the middle of, So what happens then? So what do you do then? So you go to the beginning, Chozel Oisha Pasha, go to the beginning of the Pasha. So whatever you know you said, great. And whatever you you think you may not have said properly, that's where you go back. Yeah. When again, what's the scenario exactly? What didn't you say properly? The first pasuk? No, so what we're learning now, you don't need to. You don't. Every parsha in its own is in its own independent. with Rahafto. Does Shema go with Rahafto? Let's see what the Mishnah Berurah says over here. Yeah, until the end of the first parsha, correct. That's the Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkot and Vav. Yes, you're right. In Sifkot and Vav, that's the Mishnah Berurah says.
The question I was asking, I think it's slightly different. I don't know if we've answered it. If I'm in the middle of paragraph number two, and in that time, in the middle of paragraph number two, I suddenly realized I didn't have Kavan in paragraph one, do I have to first complete paragraph two?
You could.
Then do paragraph one?
So the answer will be that if you
complete,
no, you will complete the second paragraph and you go back to the first paragraph without needing to. Yeah. Okay, gentlemen, what we cover this evening is the following halachas. Let us summarize what we discussed and learned. Pasiyat Ishmael. We learned that if somebody sleeps, you wake him up for the first pasuk. You do not need to wake him up for the second after Shema. We also learned that there is a strict rule that a person is not allowed to do any sign language or lip language or anything like that, finger pointing, etc., during Shema, because it's a Kabbalah's oil malchus Shemaim. We also learned that if a person is working, he's got to stop working for saying Shema. However, if you are on a scaffolding, on a tree, etc., you don't have to go down. Similarly, we learned if somebody's carrying loads, he can say Shema whilst carrying loads, but not during the action of putting it up and taking it down. Then a person shouldn't actually say Shema. Further, we learned, person says in the wrong order is Yoitza as far as the paragraph are concerned, but in terms of actual psukim, the changing of the order of psukim is ma'akev. But again, the paragraphs can be interchanged with the abed. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, that's it for this evening. We'll continue Be'ez Hashem tomorrow.